did at Clary. Clary held the cloth up, letting it unfold. It looks awfully small. It's stretchy, said Isabel. Now go put it on. Hastily, Clary retreated to the small bathroom, which was painted bright blue. She wriggled the dress on over her head. It was tight, with tiny spaghetti straps. Trying not to inhale too deeply, she returned to the bedroom, where Isabel was sitting on the bed, sliding a set of jeweled toe rings onto her sandaled feet. You're so lucky you have such a flat chest, Isabel said. I can never wear that without a bra. Clary scowled. It's too short. It's not short, it's fine, Isabel said, toeing around under the bed. She kicked out a pair of boots and some black fishnet tights. Here, you can wear these with it. They'll make you look taller. Right, because I'm flat-chested and a midget. Clary tugged the hem of the dress down. It just brushed the tops of her thighs. She hardly ever wore skirts, much less short ones, so seeing this much of her own legs was alarming. If it's this short on me, how short must it be on you? She mused aloud to Isabel. Isabel grinned. On me, it's a shirt. Clary flopped down on the bed and pulled the tights and boots on. The shoes were a little loose around the calves, but didn't slide around on her feet. She laced them to the top and stood up, looking at herself in the mirror. She had to admit that the combination of short black dress, fishnets, and high boots was fairly badass. The only thing that spoiled it was... Your hair, Isabel said. It needs fixing. Desperately. Sit. She pointed imperiously toward the vanity table. Clary sat and squinched her eyes shut as Isabel yanked her hair out of its braids, none too kindly, brushed it out, and shoved what felt like bobby pins into it. She opened her eyes just as a powder puff smacked her in the face, releasing a dense cloud of glitter. Clary coughed and glared at Isabel accusingly. The other girl laughed. Don't look at me, look at yourself. Glancing in the mirror, Clary saw that Isabel had pulled her hair up into an elegant swirl on the top of her head, held in place with sparkling pins. Clary was reminded suddenly of her dream, the heavy hair weighing her head down, dancing with Simon. She stirred restlessly. Don't get up yet, Isabel said. We're not done. She seized an eyeliner pen. Open your eyes. Clary widened her eyes, which was good for keeping herself from crying. Isabel, can I ask you something? Sure, said Isabel, wielding the eyeliner expertly. Is Alec gay? Isabel's wrist jerked. The eyeliner skidded, inking a long line of black from the corner of Clary's eye to her hairline. Oh, hell, Isabel said, putting the pen down. It's all right. Clary began, putting her hand up to her eye. No, it isn't. Isabel sounded near tears as she scrabbled around among the piles of junk on top of the vanity. Eventually, she came up with a cotton ball, which she handed to Clary. Here, use this. She sat down on the edge of the bed, ankle bracelets jingling, and looked at Clary through her hair. How did you guess? She said finally. You absolutely can't tell anyone, said Isabel. Not even Jace? Especially not Jace. All right. Clary heard the stiffness in her own voice. I guess I didn't realize it was such a big deal. It would be, to my parents, said Isabel quietly. They would disown him and throw him out of the clave. What, you can't be gay and a shadow hunter? There's no official rule about it, but people don't like it. I mean, less with people our age, I think, she added uncertainly, and Clary remembered how few other people her age Isabel had ever really met. But the older generation, no. If it happens, you don't talk about it. Oh, said Clary, wishing she'd never mentioned it. I love my brother, said Isabel. I'd do anything for him, but there's nothing I can do. At least he has you, said Clary awkwardly, and she thought for a moment of Jace, who thought of love as something that broke you into pieces. Do you really think that Jace would mind? I don't know, said Isabel in a tone that indicated she'd had enough of the topic, but it's not my choice to make. I guess not, Clary said. She leaned into the mirror using the cotton Isabel had given her to dab away the excess eye makeup. When she sat back, she nearly dropped the cotton ball in surprise. What had Isabel done to her? Her cheekbones looked sharp and angular, her eyes deep-set, mysterious, and a luminous green. "I look like my mom," she said in surprise. Isabel raised her eyebrows. "What? Too middle-aged? Maybe some more glitter?" "No more glitter," Clary said hastily. "No, it's good. I like it." "Great." Isabel bounced up off the bed, her anklets chiming. "Let's go." "I need to stop by my room and grab something," Clary said, standing up. "Also, do I need any weapons? Do you?" "I've got plenty." Isabel smiled, kicking her feet up so that her anklets jingled like Christmas bells. "These, for instance. The left one is gold, which is poisonous to demons, and the right one is blessed iron, in case I run across any unfriendly vampires or even fairies. Fairies hate iron. They both have strength runes carved in them, so I can pack a hell of a kick." "Demon hunting and fashion," Clary said. "I never would have thought they went together." Isabel laughed out loud. "You'd be surprised." The boys were waiting for them in the entryway. They were wearing black, even Simon, in his slightly too big pair of black pants and his own shirt turned inside out to hide the band logo. He was standing uncomfortably to the side while Jace and Alex slouched together against the wall, looking bored. Simon glanced up as Isabel strode into the entryway, her gold whip coiled around her wrist, her metal ankle chains chiming like bells. Clary expected him to look stunned. Isabel did look amazing, but his eyes slid past her to Clary, where they rested with a look of astonishment. "What is that?" he demanded, straightening up. "That you're wearing, I mean." Clary looked down at herself. She'd thrown a light jacket on to make her feel less naked and grabbed her backpack from her room. It was slung over her shoulder, bumping familiarly between her shoulder blades. But Simon wasn't looking at her backpack. He was looking at her legs as if he'd never seen them before. "It's a dress, Simon," Clary said dryly. "I know I don't wear them that much, but really." "It's so short," he said in confusion. Even half in demon hunter clothes, Clary thought, he looked like the sort of boy who'd come over to your house to pick you up for a date and be polite to your parents and nice to your pets. Jace, on the other hand, looked like the sort of boy who'd come over to your house and burn it down for kicks. "I like the dress," he said, unhitching himself from the wall. His eyes ran up and down her lazily, like the stroking paws of a cat. "It needs a little something extra, though." "So now you're a fashion expert?" Her voice came out unevenly. He was standing very close to her, close enough that she could feel the warmth of him, smell the faint burned scent of newly applied marks. He took something out of his jacket and handed it to her. It was a long, thin dagger in a leather sheath. The hilt of the dagger was set with a single red stone carved in the shape of a rose. She shook her head. "I wouldn't even know how to use that." He pressed it into her hand, curling her fingers around it. "You'd learn." He dropped his voice. "It's in your blood." She drew her hand back slowly. "All right. I could give you a thigh sheath to put that in," Isabel offered. "I've got tons." "Certainly not," said Simon. Clary shot him an irritated look. "Thanks, but I'm not really a thigh sheath kind of girl." She slid the dagger into the outside pocket of her backpack. She looked up from closing it to find Jace watching her through hooded eyes. "And one last thing," he said. He reached over and pulled the sparkling pins out of her hair so that it fell in warm and heavy curls down her neck. The sensation of hair tickling her bare skin was unfamiliar and oddly pleasant. "Much better," he said, and she thought this time that maybe his voice was slightly uneven, too. XII. Dead Man's Party. The directions on the invitation took them to a largely industrial neighborhood in Brooklyn whose streets were lined with factories and warehouses. Some, Clary could see, had been converted into lofts and galleries, but there was still something forbidding about their looming square shapes, boasting only a few windows covered in iron grills. They made their way from the subway station, Isabel navigating with the sensor, which seemed to have a sort of mapping system built in. Simon, who loved gadgets, was fascinated, or at least he was pretending it was the sensor he was fascinated with. Hoping to avoid them, Clary lagged behind as they crossed through a scrubby park, its badly kept grass burned brown by the summer heat. To her right, the spires of a church gleamed gray and black against the starless night sky. "Keep up," said an irritable voice in her ear. It was Jace, who had dropped back to walk beside her. "I don't want to have to keep looking behind me to make sure nothing's happened to you."
"So don't bother."
"Last time I left you alone, a demon attacked you," he pointed out.
"Well, I'd certainly hate to interrupt your pleasant night stroll with my sudden death."
He blinked. "There is a fine line between sarcasm and outright hostility, and you seem to have crossed it. What's up?" She bit her lip.
"This morning, weird creepy guys dug around in my brain. Now I'm going to meet the weird creepy guy who originally dug around in my brain? What if I don't like what he finds?"
"What makes you think you won't?"
Clary pulled her hair away from her sticky skin. "I hate it when you answer a question with a question."
"No, you don't. You think it's charming. Anyway, wouldn't you rather know the truth?"
"No. I mean, maybe. I don't know."
She sighed. "Would you?"
"This is the right street," called Isabel a quarter of a block ahead.
They were on a narrow avenue lined with old warehouses, though most now bore the signs of human residence. Window boxes filled with flowers, lace curtains blowing in the clammy night breeze, numbered plastic trash cans stacked on the sidewalk. Clary squinted hard, but there was no way to tell if this was the street she'd seen at the Bone City. In her vision, it had been nearly obliterated with snow. She felt Jace's fingers brush her shoulder.
"Absolutely. Always," he murmured.
She looked sideways at him, not understanding.
"What?"
"The truth," he said. "I would..."
"Jace!"
It was Alec. He was standing on the pavement, not far away. Clary wondered why his voice had sounded so loud. Jace turned, his hand falling away from her shoulder.
"Yes? Think we're in the right place?"
Alec was pointing at something Clary couldn't see. It was hidden behind the bulk of a large black car.
"What's that?"
Jace joined Alec. Clary heard him laugh. Coming around the car, she saw what they were looking at. Several motorcycles, sleek and silvery, with low-slung black chassis. Oily-looking tubes and pipes slithered up and around them, ropey as veins. There was a queasy sense of something organic about the bikes, like the bio-creatures in a Giger painting.
"Vampires," Jace said.
"They look like motorcycles to me," said Simon, joining them with Isabel at his side. She frowned at the bikes.
"They are, but they've been altered to run on demon energies," she explained. "Vampires use them. It lets them get around fast at night. It's not strictly Covenant, but..."
"I've heard some of the bikes can fly," said Alec eagerly.
He sounded like Simon with the new video game.
"Or go invisible at the flick of a switch. Or operate underwater."
Jace had jumped down off the curb and was circling the bikes, examining them. He reached out a hand and stroked one of the bikes along the sleek chassis. It had words painted along the side in silver. "Nox Invictus."
"Victorious Knight," he translated.
Alec was looking at him strangely.
"What are you doing?"
Clary thought she saw Jace slide his hand back inside his jacket.
"Nothing."
"Well, hurry up," said Isabel. "I didn't get this dressed up to watch you mess around in the gutter with a bunch of motorcycles."
"They are pretty to look at," said Jace, hopping back up on the pavement.
"You have to admit that."
"So am I," said Isabel, who didn't look inclined to admit anything. "Now hurry up." Jace was looking at Clary.
"This building," he said, pointing at the red brick warehouse. "Is this the one?"
Clary exhaled.
"I think so," she said uncertainly. "They all look the same."
"One way to find out," said Isabel, mounting the steps with a determined stride.
The rest of them followed, crowding close to one another in the foul-smelling entryway. A naked bulb hung from a cord overhead, illuminating a large metal-bound door and a row of apartment buzzers along the left wall. Only one had a name written over it. Bane. Isabel pressed the buzzer. Nothing happened. She pressed it again. She was about to press it a third time when Alec caught her wrist. "Don't be rude," he said. She glared at him. "Alec!" The door flew open. A slender man standing in the doorway regarded them curiously. It was Isabel who recovered herself first, flashing a brilliant smile. "Magnus? Magnus Bane?"
"That would be me."
The man blocking the doorway was as tall and thin as a rail, his hair a crown of dense black spikes. Clary guessed from the curve of his sleepy eyes and the gold tone of his evenly tanned skin that he was part Asian. He wore jeans and a black shirt covered with dozens of metal buckles. His eyes were crusted with a raccoon mask of charcoal glitter, his lips painted a dark shade of blue. He raked a ring-laden hand through his spiked hair and regarded them thoughtfully.
"Children of the Nephilim," he said. "Well, well, I don't recall inviting you."
Isabel took out her invitation and waved it like a white flag.
"I have an invitation. These,"
she indicated the rest of the group with a grand wave of her arm, "are my friends." Magnus plucked the invitation out of her hand and looked at it with fastidious distaste.
"I must have been drunk," he said.
He threw the door open.
"Come in,
and try not to murder any of my guests."
Jace edged into the doorway, sizing up Magnus with his eyes.
"Even if one of them spills a drink on my new shoes?"
"Even then."
Magnus's hand shot out so fast it was barely a blur. He plucked the stele out of Jace's hand. Clary hadn't even realized he was holding it, and held it up. Jace looked faintly abashed.
"As for this," Magnus said, sliding it into Jace's jeans pocket, "keep it in your pants, Shadow Hunter."
Magnus grinned and started up the stairs, leaving a surprised-looking Jace holding the door.
"Come on," he said, waving the rest of them inside, "before anyone thinks it's my party."
They pushed past Jace, laughing nervously. Only Isabel stopped to shake her head.
"Try not to piss him off, please, then he won't help us."
Jace looked bored. "I know what I'm doing."
"I hope so."
Isabel flounced past him in a swirl of skirts. Magnus's apartment was at the top of a long flight of rickety stairs. Simon hurried to catch up with Clary, who was regretting having put her hand on the banister to steady herself. It was sticky with something that glowed a faint and sickly green.
"Yuck,"
said Simon, and offered her a corner of his t-shirt to wipe her hand on. She did.
"Is everything all right? You seem distracted."
"He just looks so familiar. Magnus, I mean."
"You think he goes to St. Xavier's?"
"Very funny."
She looked at him sourly.
"You're right, he's too old to be a student. I think I had him for chem last year."
Clary laughed out loud. Immediately, Isabel was beside her, breathing down her neck.
"Am I missing something funny? Simon?"
Simon had the grace to look embarrassed, but said nothing.
Clary muttered, "You're not missing anything," and dropped behind them.
Isabel's lug-soled boots were starting to hurt her feet. By the time she reached the top of the stairs, she was limping, but she forgot the pain as soon as she walked through Magnus's front door. The loft was huge and almost totally empty of furniture. Floor-to-ceiling windows were smeared with a thick film of dirt and paint, blocking out most of the ambient light from the street. Big metal pillars wound with colored lights held up an arched, sooty ceiling. Doors torn off their hinges and laid across dented metal garbage cans made a makeshift bar at one end of the room. A lilac-skinned woman in a metallic bustier was ranging drinks along the bar in tall, harshly colored glasses that tinted the fluid inside them, blood red, cyanosis blue, poison green. Even for a New York bartender, she worked with an amazingly speedy efficiency, probably helped along by the fact that she had a second set of long, graceful arms to go with the first. Clary was reminded of Luke's Indian goddess statue. The rest of the crowd was just as strange. A good-looking boy with wet, green-black hair grinned at her over a platter of what looked like raw fish. His teeth were sharp and serrated like a shark's. Beside him stood a girl with long, dirty blonde hair braided with flowers. Under the skirt of her short green dress, her feet were webbed like a frog's. A group of young women so pale Clary wondered if they were wearing white stage makeup sipped scarlet liquid too thick to be wine from fluted crystal glasses. The center of the room was packed with bodies dancing to the pounding beat that bounced off the walls, though Clary couldn't see a band anywhere.
"You like the party?"
She turned to see Magnus lounging against one of the pillars. His eyes shone in the darkness. Glancing around, she saw that Jace and the others were gone, swallowed up by the crowd. She tried to smile.
"Is it in honor of anything?"
"My cat's birthday."
"Oh," she glanced around. "Where's your cat?"
He unhitched himself from the pillar, looking solemn.
"I don't know. He ran away."
Clary was spared responding to this by the reappearance of Jace and Alec. Alec looked sullen as usual. Jace was wearing a strand of tiny glowing flowers around his neck and seemed pleased with himself.
"Where are Simon and Isabel?" Clary said.
"On the dance floor."
He pointed. She could just see them on the edge of the packed square of bodies. Simon was doing what he usually did in lieu of dancing, which was to bounce up and down on the balls of his feet, looking uncomfortable. Isabel was slinking in a circle around him, sinuous as a snake, trailing her fingers across his chest. She was looking at him as if she were planning to drag him off into a corner to have sex. Clary hugged her arms around herself, her bracelets clanking together. If they dance any closer together, they won't have to go off in a corner to have sex.
"Look," Jay said, turning to Magnus, "we really need to talk to
Magnus Bane?"
The deep, booming voice belonged to a surprisingly short man who looked to be in his early 30s. He was compactly muscular, with a bald head shaved smooth and a pointed goatee. He leveled a trembling finger at Magnus.
"Someone just poured holy water into the gas tank on my bike. It's ruined, destroyed, all the pipes are melted."
"Melted?" murmured Magnus. "How dreadful."
"I want to know who did it."
The man bared his teeth, showing long pointed canines. Clary stared in fascination. They didn't look at all the way she'd imagined vampire fangs. These were as thin and sharp as needles.
"I thought you'd swore there'd be no wolfmen here tonight, Bane."
"I invited none of the moon's children," Magnus said, examining his glittery nails. "Precisely because of your stupid little feud. If any of them decided to sabotage your bike, they weren't a guest of mine and are therefore," he offered a winsome smile, "not my responsibility."
The vampire roared with rage, jabbing his finger toward Magnus. "Are you trying to tell me that—"
Magnus's glitter-coated index finger twitched, just a fraction, so slightly that Clary almost thought he hadn't moved at all. Mid-roar, the vampire gagged and clutched at his throat. His mouth worked, but no sound came out.
"You've worn out your welcome," Magnus said lazily, opening his eyes very wide.
Clary saw with a jolt of surprise that they had vertical slit pupils like a cat's.
"Now go."
He splayed the fingers of his hand, and the vampire turned as smartly as if someone had grabbed his shoulders and spun him around. He marched back into the crowd, heading toward the door. Jace whistled under his breath.
"That was impressive."
"You mean that little hissy fit?"
Magnus cast his eyes toward the ceiling.
"I know. What is her problem?"
Alec made a choking noise. After a moment, Clary recognized it as laughter. He ought to do that more often. "We put the holy water in his gas tank, you know," he said.
"Alec," said Jace, "shut up."
"I assumed that," said Magnus, looking amused.
"Vindictive little bastards, aren't you?
You know, their bikes run on demon energies.
I doubt he'll be able to repair it."
"One less leech with a fancy ride," said Jace. My heart bleeds. I heard some of them can make their bikes fly, put in Alec, who looked animated for once. He was almost smiling.
Merely an old witch's tale, said Magnus, his cat's eyes glittering.
So, is that why you wanted to crash my party? Just to wreck some bloodsucker bikes?
No. Jace was all business again. We need to talk to you, preferably somewhere private.
Magnus raised an eyebrow.
Damn, Clary thought, another one.
Am I in trouble with the Clave?
No, said Jace.
Probably not, said Alec.
Ow!
He glared at Jace, who had kicked him sharply in the ankle.
No, Jace repeated. We can talk to you under the seal of the Covenant. If you help us, anything you say will be confidential.
And if I don't help you?
Jace spread his hands wide. The rune tattoos on his palms stood out stark and black.
Maybe nothing. Maybe a visit from the Silent City.
Magnus's voice was honey poured over shards of ice.
That's quite a choice you're offering me, little Shadow Hunter.
It's no choice at all, said Jace.
Yes, said the warlock. That's exactly what I meant.
Magnus's bedroom was a riot of color. Canary yellow sheets and bedspread draped over a mattress on the floor. Electric blue vanity table strewn with more pots of paint and makeup than Isabel's. Rainbow velvet curtains hid the floor-to-ceiling windows, and a tangled wool rug covered the floor.
Nice place, said Jace, drawing aside a heavy swag of curtain. Guess it pays well, being the High Warlock of Brooklyn.
It pays, Magnus said.
Not much of a benefit package, though. No dental.
He shut the door behind him and leaned against it. When he crossed his arms, his t-shirt rode up, showing a strip of flat golden stomach unmarked by a navel.
So, he said, what's on your devious little minds?
It's not them, actually, Clary said, finding her voice before Jace could reply. I'm the one who wanted to talk to you.
Magnus turned his inhuman eyes on her. You are not one of them, he said.
Not of the Clave. But you can see the invisible world.
My mother was one of the Clave, Clary said.
It was the first time she'd said it out loud and known it to be true.
But she never told me. She kept it a secret. I don't know why.
So ask her.
I can't. She's...
Clary hesitated.
She's gone.
And your father?
He died before I was born.
Magnus exhaled irritably. As Oscar Wilde once said, to lose one parent may be regarded as misfortune. To lose both seems like carelessness.
Clary heard Jace make a small hissing sound, like air being sucked through his teeth. She said, I didn't lose my mother. She was taken from me by Valentine.
I don't know any Valentine, said Magnus, but his eyes flickered like wavering candle flames, and Clary knew he was lying.
I'm sorry for your tragic circumstances, but I fail to see what any of this has to do with me. If you could tell me...
She can't tell you because she doesn't remember, Jace said sharply.
Someone erased her memories, so he went to the Silent City to see what the brothers could pull out of her head. They got two words. I think you can guess what they were.
There was a short silence. Finally, Magnus let his mouth turn up at the corner. His smile was bitter. My signature, he said. I knew it was folly when I did it, an act of hubris.
You signed my mind? Clary said in disbelief.
Magnus raised his hand, tracing the fiery outlines of letters against the air. When he dropped his hand, they hung there, hot and golden, making the painted lines of his eyes and mouth burn with reflected light.
Magnus Bane. I was proud of my work on you, he said slowly, looking at Clary. So clean, so perfect. What you saw, you would forget, even as you saw it. No image of pixie or goblin or long-legged beastie would remain to trouble your blameless mortal sleep. It was the way she wanted it.
Clary's voice was thin with tension. The way who wanted it?
Magnus sighed, and at the touch of his breath, the fire letters sifted away to glowing ash. Finally he spoke,